Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome, visitors. Well, we got more snow. I drive part-time now. I'm not doing full-time driving. And some of the children that I drive for are anxious for snow. So this was a real treat this week. They were able to play out in the snow and have a lot of fun. They were waiting a long, long time to do that. Well, this week, we went up to the hospital to visit Gladys. And while we were there, we were talking, and it was very encouraging to see that she perked up and smiling and joking with the nurse, making a few comments. And she said to me about my brother-in-law sending her candy. And I thought, oh, did you eat the whole box? She said, no, I ate the candy. I thought that was great, and I just laughed, and I thought that was great. I was like, but then you threw the box away, right? I said, no, I kept the box. So, but that just shows to me some amazing turnarounds, how individuals in their lives, you never know what you're going to face from one day to the next. And in the process of time, things can remarkably turn around. Well, while I was there, we were talking, and she asked me, what do you want to speak about this week? And I thought about it, and I said, well, what would you like me to speak about this week? And she told me, and that's what I'm going to talk about today, some of the thoughts that Gladys had in her mind while we were talking. I think it's very encouraging to know what her thoughts were. Now, here she was on her possibly deathbed. My wife, Linda, could give you more details on the specifics, as well as Kathy and some of the others, Mary, what she was going through. And yet, despite going through that, which was a tremendous trial for all of us to see her go through that, some of the thoughts that was going through her mind as she was coming out of her situation. God's Spirit is very powerful. And it's also very practical. Let me say, powerful and practical. How is that possible? Well, with God, all things are possible. And we're very encouraged to know that it is powerful because it comes from God. The Holy Spirit comes from God. It is part of Him. And it's what He has done through the one who became Jesus Christ, created the universe. And as Tom mentioned, if you looked up in the skies at night to see the magnificent stars that shine, God created that, and He created it by the power of His Holy Spirit. Now, I also mentioned that it's practical. Now you say, what do you mean God's Spirit is practical? Well, it's practical in the fact that the Holy Spirit helps human beings to live a more modern as well as productive and fruitful life. So that's how it's practical. So God's Holy Spirit is both powerful, which we can see in the skies through the creation, and it's very practical in the fact that God gives us guidelines to help us to be more fruitful and very productive in our lives. So just what does the Holy Spirit do for us and in us? That's the question I addressed this morning. And it's still the morning, so I can say that. That is the question. What does the Holy Spirit do for us and in us? I'm going to give you a couple points that the Bible brings out. Nothing earth-shaking, such as creation, which I talked about earlier. But things that God, through the Holy Spirit, gives us and should encourage us. Encourage us to go forward and move forward and grow and be productive individuals. Now I ask, what is the common link that makes us God's people? I talked about the Holy Spirit, and that's what it is. The Holy Spirit is the link that makes us God's people. Not the color of our skin or the organization that we are in, or what we believe necessarily, although that's very important sometimes. But the important thing is the Holy Spirit that dwells in each and every one of us. That is the common link. That is what we have to look to. Now let's turn to Ephesians 2. And as Gladys was talking to me, she was expressing two points that I think was very, very strong in her thoughts. One of them was love, which I'll talk about. And the second was peace, which sometimes we struggle with, finding peace. But over in Ephesians 2, and let's look at verse 21. Ephesians 2, verse 21, it says, "In whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord." Now, it's going to take the Holy Spirit developing within us to build the temple that He wants within us. It's not our ability. It's not something that we're capable of doing. Although working with the Holy Spirit helps us to be able to build the temple that God is asking us to build within the temple for His Spirit. In 22 verse, or chapter 2, verse 22, it says, "In whom you are built together for an inhabitance of God through the Spirit." So here we're showed that God inhabitates within us and is through the Spirit that dwells within us. So it shows that God comes and dwells within us. So that's one point that you can write down if you're taking notes. It is God dwelling in us, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that gives us the ability to grow and to move forward. Now, I mentioned about growing. Let's look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. And let's look at verse 18. And here again, the emphasis is the Holy Spirit. And in verse 18 of 2 Peter 3, it says, "But grow in grace and in knowledge." Now, how do we grow in grace and knowledge? We can't do it ourselves. It takes the Holy Spirit that helps us to be able to grow in grace and knowledge. The Holy Spirit gives us understanding. It gives us knowledge. It gives us direction. It says, "The knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." So that is how we grow in grace and knowledge, is through the Holy Spirit guiding us and directing us and giving us understanding with that knowledge. We can't do it ourselves. We can learn many things, but with the Spirit guiding us and stirring us to learn new things and growing, that is how we are able to grow in grace and knowledge. Let's look at Galatians 5 now. Galatians 5 specifically tells us what we're supposed to be growing in, how the Holy Spirit leads us and develops us in Galatians 5. And I think you know exactly where I'm going. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Now that rings bells to anybody who studies about the fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5 verse 22. "But the fruits of the Spirit is love." Now, love is very important because it starts from God. God first loved us, and He gave His only begotten Son in a sacrifice for the sins of mankind so that those sins can be forgiven. And it shows the emphasis that God had. He didn't have to do that. He already existed. Jesus Christ already existed. The angelic beings existed. He didn't have to make mankind. There was no necessary need for it. But out of His love and compassion, and the two words go hand in hand, love and compassion, He decided to create mankind. And in the process, that was one of His ways of expressing love, was creating mankind for the purpose of expanding His family. Now, we understand that as the kingdom is established here on earth, as Scott was talking earlier about, the family will grow. And I really enjoyed that music, Patty. I appreciate that, because it kind of emphasizes some of the points I want to talk about. We are a family. We are a growing family. And we're growing together, all for the purpose of being in God's kingdom. And it is love, as Gladys expressed to us, that will get us into His kingdom. Love is amazing. It's just
The love of many will wax cold, the Bible says, in the end times. And that's something we need to be aware of. If the wax of the love will wax cold in brethren who have the Holy Spirit, we have to be on guard. And we need to express to one another love and concern for one another, how much we care. We need to encourage one another not to give up, not to get frustrated, not to become upset, and allow the cares of this world to pull us out of his kingdom, if we allow it to. It says, don't let any man take your crown. And it can, if not careful. So love is vitally important. And Jesus Christ and God the Father emphasized that throughout the Bible. You can read all over the scriptures, and we will read a couple scriptures as we progress on Jesus Christ's feelings about love and God the Father, how he feels, and how we too can express love to one another. It's very, very important, as Gladys was mentioning. Now I mentioned about love over in Galatians 5:22, but also included in the fruits of the Spirit of love are joy and peace. Now that is another fruit that Gladys talked about, peace, because she knows what's going on, the confusion that's happening not only within the church but in the world. There's a lot of things going on that can cause confusion and not peace. And as Scott mentioned, where are we in history? We can't predict the time specifically when Christ will return, but we can watch the events that lead up. And we can see things that cause individuals to lose peace. Peace of mind is the real peace for many of us. As we watch world events take place, the economy that's totally unsure, people losing jobs, losing homes, losing families. My wife and I just talked about a man that we know personally who's going through some very difficult times, and he doesn't have the peace of mind. His family is shaken up, and they're struggling in their relationships of marriage. And when individuals' lives are struggling to have peace in it, it's hard. It's very, very hard to realize that without peace and without love, those two combinations, our world is void of many things, of precious things, precious love and peace that we desperately need. Well, again, you can read the rest of the fruits. These are fruits that we're supposed to be developing, and it is only through the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that gives us the ability to develop these fruits. Now, we're told to stir up the Spirit, and I hope we, each and every one of us, follows that command to stir up the Spirit, because we can become weary in well-doing. The Bible tells us and warns us we can get tired, frustrated, and even give up on things. But if we're stirring up the Spirit and we're developing these fruits, led by the Spirit that helps us to develop these fruits, we will be growing and we will be in God's kingdom. So I just wanted to emphasize Galatians 5:22. These are the things we need to be developing. And continue reading down through there. You know them all. You know them all quite well. These is what's going to show who has God's Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. When you say, well, how do you know a person has God's Holy Spirit? Look at Galatians 5:22. If a person shows love, if a person shows joy, if a person shows peace, and we can continue reading gentleness, long-suffering, faith, as Scott talked about, we know they have the Holy Spirit because these fruits are working within that individual. Meekness, temperance, they're all wonderful fruits. Let's look at James 1 and verse 5. Now, sometimes when you think about the Holy Spirit, of course, we emphasize the fruits of the Spirit very strongly because that's what we're supposed to be developing. We don't always think about this characteristic. In James 1 and verse 5, which said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, you don't always think about wisdom in the Holy Spirit, but that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. It gives us wisdom, as I mentioned earlier. It gives us understanding. It gives us direction. If we lack wisdom, and sometimes we do, we make bad decisions, which is the opposite of wisdom. Making bad decisions is a lack of wisdom. And we will do that from time to time. Sometimes out of hasty decision-making, we'll lack the wisdom that we should have. But brethren, we can have the wisdom we need by asking. And the Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom that we need. Again, in James, let's look at James 3. And let's look at verse 17. James 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Again, the emphasis, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Because unfortunately, people can have wisdom, but they may not necessarily use it properly. Individual doesn't say because you have wisdom that you'll use it properly. You've got to be led by the Spirit with that wisdom. And that Spirit would give you discernment. And in the process of discernment, that'll give you the understanding and the wisdom that you need. And that'll bring forth good fruits, as we're told here. And in verse 18, and the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace, as Gladys was saying, of them that make peace. So Gladys was thinking about peace. And she wants to encourage, I think, all of us to sow peace and to make peace. And then also to love one another. I think she was emphasizing that too. That we need to love one another and emphasize that. Now one thing that we struggle with is sin. And so over in Romans, let's look at Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. That's after Acts. I'm turning in the wrong direction here. Romans 6. And let's look doesn't look right. That doesn't look like the right scripture I wrote down. Sorry. Let's let me give me a second here. I'll get my thoughts together. Romans 6. Okay. I'm going to look at 13. Romans 6 verse 13. Neither yield to your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Okay. Unto sin. So again, we're supposed to avoid unrighteousness and sin. We're supposed to avoid that. But how can we do that? Because we struggle. We're human. And we have fleshly lusts and desires sometimes. And they can lead us to sin. But it's the Holy Spirit that dwells within us that is giving us the capability of overcoming sin. So as we read here, it says, we're not supposed to yield our members to unrighteousness and sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of instruments of righteousness unto God. So with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, it'll lead us away from sin. It will help us to overcome sin. And that is one of the benefits, as we mentioned, what the Holy Spirit can do for us. It can lead us away from sin. It helps us over in James again, James 4. Over in James 4, verse 7, we're told, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now that scripture says enough right there. If you're close to God, you'll be able to resist the devil because the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to do that. And when Satan can't do anything against you, he'll flee. He'll realize it's a useless effort. But it's only because, in verse 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That is how it is. It's not that we have the ability to resist the devil and cause the devil to flee. It's drawing close to God. And how do we draw close to God? By stirring up the Spirit that he gives us. It's the Spirit that helps us to be able to draw near to Him. And as we draw close to God and God draws close to us, that is how we're capable of developing the fruits in continuation. Now we understand that there is a kingdom coming. And part of the kingdom will be, of course, Jesus Christ reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But God the Father is also part of the kingdom. And sometimes I think we forget that. Even though Christ is coming back, He's setting up the government, He's going to be King of Kings. Where's God in the picture? He's up in heaven, sitting back out of the picture? No, He's looking forward to returning to earth too and being part of the kingdom as well. So we have to remember, God is also part of the plan, not just Jesus Christ returning. And part of that plan, as from the very beginning, when Jesus Christ and God the Father decided to create human beings, one of the things they decided upon was to give the Holy Spirit. And what that Holy Spirit does for us, it gives us the earnest need for eternal life. That is a down payment, if you want to call it, that leads us to eternal life, the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Now we can read about that. There's a lot of different scriptures in the Bible that refers to eternal life. That's a subject in itself, and I'm not going to just emphasize just that point only, because again, we could have a sermon just on eternal life. But let's look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. And let's look at verse 13. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. In whom you also trusted after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you have believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now what is the promise? The promise is eternal life, is what the promise is. And it is sealed by the Spirit that dwells within us. Let's look at 1 John 5:11. First John 5 verse 11. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and that that life is in His Son. And he that has the Son has life. So with Christ and God the Spirit, Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we will have eternal life if we continue to endure to the end. Because we can lose the Spirit if we're not careful. That's why we're told to stir up the Spirit. Not to quench the Spirit, but to stir it up. And so that's why we got to continue to go forward. We got to continue to grow in grace and knowledge and understanding. And in the fruits of the Spirit, we got to continue to trust in that. But it is the down payment. The Holy Spirit is what gives us the opportunity for eternal life, as well as God's blessings. Now, Jesus Christ knows His people, and so does God the Father. And we can look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and let's look at chapter 2. Verse 19. This is a very encouraging scripture. What I mean by that is we can read this and realize God knows His people. He knows who has His Spirit and who doesn't. In verse 19 of chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. And so I hope you're encouraged by scriptures like this. He knows His people, those who are His, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So even though we are His and we have the Holy Spirit, we have to depart from iniquity. And that is part of growing and utilizing the Holy Spirit. Because again, if we fail to use the Holy Spirit to stir it up, to work fruits in our lives, we will regress. And in the process of regressing, unfortunately, individuals have left the church. They have struggled with sin and problems, and sometimes they stop growing. And that's a tragedy, but it's been with mankind ever since mankind existed. You can read examples in the Bible of individuals may not possibly had the Holy Spirit, but they were being led by the Spirit. And somewhere in their life, they turned and they left the Spirit and they developed a different spirit. Remember Saul, King Saul? That's just one example that we can refer to, who at one time was being led by the Spirit, that had good fruits. And he was a good king for a short period of time. But somewhere in the process, he left the Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, and he turned to a different spirit. And he even tried to kill David from time to time. So it's very important. God knows his people. He knows who has God's Holy Spirit. And he will continue to work with those individuals. And that's why we need to pray for one another, that we all have God's Holy Spirit, and we need to continue to develop it. We can't allow our weaknesses to take us and stumble and fall, but we got to overcome those, as we mentioned earlier. Now, the Holy Spirit helps us with our weaknesses, I mentioned earlier, and it helps us to pray. You say, the Holy Spirit helps you to pray? Yes, it does. Sometimes when you struggle and you don't know what to pray about, the Holy Spirit can stir your mind and help you to say the things you need to say to God. You know, prayer is not that complicated. Sometimes people make prayer more complicated than it really is. Prayer is simply talking to God, is what prayer is. And taking the time, wherever you may be, and talking to God and telling him what your needs are, as well as praying for individuals and praying for the church and whatever the situations that have come. Because as time continues, more problems are going to develop. It's not going to be easy the years ahead. We know that. It says there'll be perilous times. And we know that without the Spirit dwelling within us, mankind can barely survive. It is only going to be the Holy Spirit that will give us faith, give us strength, encouragement to endure the difficult times ahead. So we're going to need that Holy Spirit to help us through the difficult times ahead. And it will help us pray earnestly. We can read about that in Romans 8. Romans 8. For some reason, I skipped from Colossians to Acts. It's just the turning of the pages for some reason. Romans 8. And let's look at verse 26. I mentioned earlier about prayer. There are times when we may struggle with prayer. We don't know what to pray about. And we think, how do I express some of the things and some of the feelings I have without coming across like I'm angry or upset? Is it wrong to become angry? No, not if you don't sin. Because we should hate evil. And it's fine to get angry about evil things. Not evil people per se, but the evil deeds that people do. We can be upset with that. We can love the sinner but hate the sin. It says over in verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And that's true. There's times sometimes we struggle and say, what should I pray about? Well, there's lots of things to pray about when you think about it. Just if you want to talk about healing, individuals who are struggling with health issues. Gladys, again, we all prayed for Gladys, and I can encouragingly say it appears God answered our prayers because she's doing well at the hospital. But sometimes we do struggle. What do we pray about? You know, We get down on our knees and it just seems like the words don't come. That's why I say it's not that complicated. If you just cry out to God and talk to God and let Him know what your thoughts are. And if you're upset or angry, God will listen. And He will help you with His Holy Spirit. You know, we can't stay in an angered frame of mind and continue to grow in spirit. If we have anger and frustration and hurt feelings, and we continue to dwell in that condition, and we don't use the Spirit to overcome those situations, we can sow a seed of bitterness. And the Bible talks about a seed of bitterness and how it can take us out of the church. And that's why it's very important, even when we struggle with what to pray about, the Holy Spirit will give us understanding, what we need, even when we don't know what to pray about. It says here the Spirit will search the hearts and knows those of the minds of the Spirit. So the Spirit will search our hearts and help us to speak what we need to speak. So again, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray effectively and earnestly. Now, over in Matthew, let's turn to Matthew, and let's look at chapter 22. Talking to my wife earlier, I said, I don't know if this is going to be a sermonette, a split sermon, or a sermon. I said, it all depends on what the Spirit tells me to speak about, and I'm encouraged. Like I say, when I think about Gladys and knowing what she went through this past week, Wednesday night with the heart attack, and it looked very obvious to those who were with her that she may have breathed her last breath, and getting her to the hospital and revitalizing, and now to see her this week laughing and talking about the candy that we mentioned earlier, I thought that was great. You know, this laughing and talking. And when she said and asked me what I was going to speak about, and I was thinking, well, what would you like me to speak about? And she said, love. And I think that's what she has in her heart, in her mind. She loves each and every one of us. And she cares about each and every one of us very, very much. And these are some of the thoughts in her heart. And she wants you to know that. And I want you to know we all care about her as well. We all care with love. And it is that love that is the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Because you can't fathom up love. You can try, but if you don't have the Spirit, it's not going to be true love. Okay? It's going to be an infatuated love built up. But true love comes from God. God is love. And He gives us His Holy Spirit, which is the fruit of love. And it is that Holy Spirit dwelling within us that gives us the love that we can give to one another. And God expects us to show love to one another. He wants us to tell each other that we do love each other. It's very important because in the Scriptures He tells us, and Jesus Christ also tells us, that we need to love one another. Over in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Let's look at verse 37. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. So number one, our love should be emphasized, first of all, towards God. That is number one direction that our love should be directed towards. With all our heart, with all our being, with all our soul, it says here, and with all our mind. Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. Now we know that. That's as simple as 1, 2, 3. But verse 39 is where it becomes a little bit more complicated, a little more difficult. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, it's easy to love somebody that loves you. But what about if somebody hated you? Could you love them? Probably not. Without the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you would probably have hatred towards them. You know the old saying, I hate you because you hate me. But that's not what we're supposed to be. With the Spirit dwelling within us, we can love our enemies. And it's not because we're capable ourselves, it's because of the Spirit of love that dwells within us, the fruit of the Spirit of love that enables us to love those who may not love us. And there's coming a time, and I'm not trying to look on the negative here, but with perilous times, there'll be individuals who will hate us for what we believe. We're going to be persecuted. The Bible talks about persecution. And I know some people don't want to talk about these things, but, you know, it is the Spirit that will get us through that. And we have to realize the physical flesh is temporary. It's the Spirit that dwells within us that gives us eternal life that will be permanently. And so we need to grow. We need to be able to face difficult times ahead. And we won't be able to do it without the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us. As we are growing spiritually, God calls us His children. I think that's encouraging for each and every one of us. We are the children of God. And it's because of the Spirit that dwells within us. I want to refer a couple more scriptures of love, because again, I told Gladys I was going to talk about that. Let's look at Song of Solomon. Now people are saying, uh-oh, Song of Solomon, what's he going to talk about there? That's an interesting book. For those who are familiar with Song of Solomon, chapter 8. I think this scripture says a lot in reference to love. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and let's look at verse 6. Song of Solomon, which is after Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 6. Set me a seal upon my heart, or your heart, as a seal upon thy arm, for love is strong as death. So here we're told, love is as strong as death. Now death is very strong. Some individuals, as they're facing death, it's fearful, very fearful. But it says, love is as strong as death. Jealousy is cruel, and that's true. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. And the coals there are coals of fire, burning hot, which it says is most fervent flames. Now verse 7 says, many waters cannot quench love. I think that's very encouraging. Neither can the floods drown it. So if you have love, the times ahead, the perilous times that we're going to be enduring and facing, the difficulties, won't quench our love. If we have love, the consequences is as if a man would give all of his substance, and we may have to in the future. We may lose our homes. We may have to move, find ourselves on the go or on the travel to get away from evil. We have to realize it is love, the Spirit that dwells within us, that will be able to help us endure to the end. Again, we won't make it if we don't have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. But again, I find that an interesting scripture. Many waters cannot quench love. And that is so true. We can allow ourselves to quench the Spirit. But brethren, if the Spirit is dwelling within you, and you are growing and developing the fruits of Galatians 5:22, and you're moving forward, and you're enduring to the end, which we're commanded to do, then we will grow. And we will have the love that God wants us to have. Let's look at Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 9. Romans 12 and verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. So again, I talked about earlier, is it wrong to get angry and hate evil? No. But anger can lead to sin, so we got to be on guard for that. It says, cleave to that which is good. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honoring preference one another. Now here again, The act of love is showing kindness, compassion, and affection one to another. And that's what we need to do. We need to grow and develop the love and be affectionate one for another. Brethren, we're all in this together. We're all striving for the kingdom of God. We're not on two separate ships. We're on the same ship. The Holy Spirit is the ship that we're riding upon. That is what's going to get us into the kingdom, the Holy Spirit. Not any specific organization or a man or a direction by individuals. It is the Holy Spirit within us that will get us into the kingdom. Let's look at Ephesians 5 again. Ephesians 5. Let's look at verse 2. Again, these are thoughts of many of the disciples, as well as we'll talk about Jesus Christ and God the Father and how they feel in reference to love. And it says here in Ephesians 5, verse 2, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice, it says, for his love of mankind, that mankind's sins could be forgiven. That is why Christ was willing to make the sacrifice. You know, he didn't have to. He could have said, no, I don't want to go through this suffering. I don't want to go through. He did struggle, but it was the Spirit within him that kept him going. He realized what he had to go through. It was not going to be easy. And no matter how much we think Christ's sacrifice was all it took, that's not the end of the picture. The kingdom of God will be established because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. That is what's going to help us and help us to walk in love, the Holy Spirit within us, as Christ set the example. Now let's look at John for final scripture. I think this kind of sums it all up. We talked about peace. When you have the love of God in you, you will have peace of mind. You will be able to face whatever comes at you. None of us know what we're going to be facing in the future. Some of us may have more difficult times than others. Others will maybe have an easier time than others. Does that mean God's a respecter of persons? No. God knows what you're capable of doing and handling, and he will allow you to face trials because he has trust that the Spirit that dwells within you will give you the ability to face whatever trial you face. We know we can all do that. We have that because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. But over in the book of John, John 13, and these are some of the words of Christ as he was also facing death. His time was coming to an end. He knew that. And he was with his disciples at the Passover service. And he was talking to his brethren. And it says verse 33. Let's look at verse 33. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto you, the Jews, where I go you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." So these are some of the last words that Christ was thinking as he was preparing to face his ultimate test, if you want to put it, physical test of being sacrificed. And it was going to be a very, very difficult sacrifice. Tormentation. Not only physically, but mentally. And of course, we realize that Christ endured that suffering for our benefit. But he says here, very emphasized, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." So this is what Christ was emphasizing. And Jesus Christ and God the Father love each other, and they both love us. That's why they created us. Be part of their family, to be in their kingdom, and to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that we can have eternal life. And he wants us to love one another. Now I realize we don't always agree. We may have difficulty accepting some things that some people say. Sometimes we have opposing viewpoints. But that's not all wrong. It's wrong if you hate because you have a different point of view or a different idea. That's when it becomes wrong. But we should love one another no matter what. If a person hates us or a person loves us, we should love one another. And we need to express that as Christ expressed it, that we should love one another. This is the things that's going to help encourage one another as the difficult years ahead come. Now, I heard today on the radio they predicted 2012 as the end of the earth. Well, that's only about 2 years now. So store up your bags and get ready. It's coming. No, don't worry about what men say or predict. It's what God says. And His Word will give us what we need to be able to be in His kingdom. If 2012 comes and the world comes to an end, as they say, mankind, I think they'll be wrong. They'll be proved to be false prophets because we know that we need 3.5 years. And that kind of throws that theory out of the concept right there. And I won't go into all the details because, again, that's another scripture that we can have a sermon on. So we can just kind of laugh and kind of say, well, another false prophet has come on the scene. We know it's going to be more than a year or two from now, if you want to term it that. But anyway, it's coming. Anyway, the end of the times, the return of Jesus Christ is coming. And brethren, as we endure to the end and we face difficult times ahead, it is the love of the Holy Spirit and the fruits that we develop, the character that will give us what we need to endure. And we will have peace of mind. We won't have fret and be upset and lacking peace, because peace will come with the return of Jesus Christ. He's going to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and Prince of Peace. He's considered Prince of Peace. And that is something we can hold on to and be very, very, very encouraged by, knowing that we can be part of God's government, the kingdom of God. We will be part of it because we have a down payment of the Holy Spirit already dwelling within us. Now, can we lose the Spirit? Yes. Yes, we can. Will we lose the Spirit? That's strictly up to you. Will you grow? Will you develop the fruits of the Spirit? Will you continue to endure to the end? Only you can ask that question and answer that question. I think knowing each and every one of us, we can encourage one another. Hang in there. The Spirit will lead you, guide you, direct you, give you what you need when you struggle with prayer, what to pray about. It'll give you hope. It'll give you understanding. It'll give you knowledge. It'll direct your paths. And it will lead you into the kingdom. So, brethren, let's understand. We may have different ideas. We may have different opinions. We may even find individuals that hate us in the future. Brothers that we love that hate us. But if we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, if we have the love and the fruits of the Spirit dwelling within us, we will love everyone. We will all be in the kingdom of God together. So let's pray that that day does come and that we can be part of it and we can look forward to the return of Jesus Christ.